Welcome back to Newswork Tonight. I'm Dave Heller. Ahead of Sunday, let's learn if it'll be socks in a box, a necktie, or neither for fellow dad and New York University historian Jonathan Zimmerman on this episode of That's History. Happy Father's Day, Jonathan.
Good to be here, and same to you, Dave. Happy Father's Day to you.
I'm looking forward to adding to my Jerry Garcia tie collection. How about you?
Well, it's either that or socks.
Ah.
Apparently for 100 years, dads have been getting socks, and I have received them.
Great for the socks industry. Were they the initial lobbyists for this day?
They were one of them. So were tobacco companies. So were sporting good companies, but mainly clothiers.
And how did it come about? Mother's Day was already established.
Mother's Day started 2 years earlier in 1908 here in Philadelphia, started by a West Virginian former schoolteacher named Anna Jarvis. And 2 years later, a person with a lovely name of Sonora Dodd in Spokane, Washington, tries to piggyback on Mother's Day by founding Father's Day. Sonora Dodd was one of six children whose mom died in childbirth. And she came up with Father's Day as a way to salute her father, who brought up Sonora Dodd and her five siblings by himself.
There was a lag, though, between Sonora's intent and it becoming an official law.
Indeed. It doesn't actually get approved by Congress until the 70s, until Richard Nixon is president. Mother's Day catches on much more quickly. Anna Jarvis starts it here in Philadelphia in 1908. And 5 years later, Congress makes it an official holiday. The year after that, the president, who was Woodrow Wilson, issues a proclamation for Mother's Day. Father's Day takes a lot longer to be officially inscribed.
What were some of the misgivings?
Well, part of the misgiving was that it would erode the special character of Mother's Day. If you think about when Mother's Day started,
before women had the right to vote.
Indeed. It was very much tied up in the suffrage movement. And many suffragists supported Mother's Day as a way of proclaiming the need for the vote. And then later on, anti-suffragists also celebrated Mother's Day as a way of arguing that actually the place of women isn't in the political sphere, it's in the home. So Mother's Day always had a controversial politics surrounding it, having to do with women's rights. Dad's Day, on the other hand, was not about politics, but about products.
All about commerce.
Always has been. And Sonora Dodd, actually, herself was quite deliberate and open about that. The Mother's Day advocates are very worried that Mother's Day is getting commercialized. And indeed, several of the founders made long speeches about how Mother's Day should be about moms and it shouldn't be about buying and selling. Sonora Dodd actually encouraged the merchants of Spokane, Washington, and then of the United States to promote it in every which way they could. And her famous quote was, "Shouldn't the person who gives us gifts throughout the year get a gift on this day?" So shouldn't the economic provider of the family be provided for?
Well, interesting, though, as that definition has evolved in culture and society, how has Mother and or Father's Day kept up or not?
Well, it's interesting. I mean, Mother's Day, we do spend more money on Mother's Day than on Father's Day, but barely. By most accounts, we're going to spend $12 billion on Father's Day. But I would argue that the consistent theme is that on Mother's Day, there's much more reflection about the role of women, the role of motherhood in modern society and in modern feminism. And on Father's Day, not so much. It's still really about buying and selling. So you look at the ads, and they're almost, I read that over half of them are for clothes. And I went and looked at some television ads that are heating up for Father's Day. And what you see is you see dad going off to work in his new shirt. And again, I think the theme is consistent over the past 100 years. Dad puts shirts on our back, so today we should give him a shirt.
It seems to be rivaling the retail events, Halloween and the Christmas holiday season.
Absolutely. And it's interesting you say that because in the 1930s, when the retail industry is really trying to promote Father's Day because we're in a depression, they're trying to get people to buy things, they actually say it should be the second Christmas. That was the phrase they use for Father's Day. And during the Depression, one of the arguments they used, interestingly, was that we should be promoting Father's Day because it will assist the economy and prevent a kind of slide into fascism like was happening in Europe. The idea the European economies got decimated and fascism took over, so if what we want to do is ward off fascism, what we should do is have a big, splashy, expensive Father's Day where we buy and sell lots of stuff.
Let's dare to look ahead. With continuing graying of the baby boom generation, I wonder what that portends for Grandmother and Grandfather's Day.
It's interesting you say that, because that was another argument against Father's Day. That is, after we made Mother's Day, people start suggesting Father's Day, and then critics say, now, wait a second, are we going to have Grandparents' Day? Are we going to have Siblings' Day? Aunt and Uncle Day? One guy writes an editorial saying, you know, the next thing you know, we're going to have Household Pet Day.
When is that again?
It's every day.
Thank you, Jonathan.
Thank you. It was fun.
And happy Father's Day.
And to you.
That's Jonathan Zimmerman, historian at New York University, joining us on this episode of That's History.